Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God. His folks are in their fourth year already in Namibia, and will be coming home next year. Wow. Coming on furlough, raising project dollars and support and so on. So very, very thankful that Brother Jordan is, by the way, Sister Kristen is a graduate, right? Graduate of Texas Bible College. Awesome. Very good. And Brother Jordan is graduating this December?
I'll be done in December.
All right. Fantastic. So we appreciate these young people so very much. And I know Brother Jordan's got something good from the Word of the Lord. I'm going to let him preach tonight.
Praise the Lord. Why don't we go ahead and praise the Lord just a little bit more. God, we thank you and we love you for your holy word. We love you for your name. We thank you for everything you've done, everything that you will do, and everything you're going to be doing in our lives. We give you honor. We give you glory tonight. God be praised. God be glorified. Lord, be the king in my life, I pray. God, you're awesome. You're great and powerful. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we love you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is good to be back in Alaska. It is very good to be back in Alaska. I have not been back since I left. And so I, yes. this is my first time coming back. I should say it that way. I haven't seen you since the last time I've seen you. All right. But it is very good to be back. I do want to give honor to Pastor Glover and the Glover family. And then I do want to give honor to my wife, who was able to follow me up here on the trip. I've been hoping and praying that she would enjoy it, and she has so far. And then I do want to thank the Abbots for their hospitality, their love. And then everybody else who's family and friends, it's good to be with you guys again. You know who you are. I appreciate all of you. I'm going to be going to Genesis chapter 22. I will be kind of short tonight. I can't remember how long you guys usually go, but it's going to be on the shorter side. Lots of Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to try to preach a little bit. We'll see what happens, but I just want God to move. I want him to speak. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him." And if you'd let me tonight, I'll teach about the white lie of conditional surrender. If I had to title it that, it'd be the white lie of conditional surrender. God, I want you to have your way and I want you to speak. Lord, I want you to move upon every heart, upon every mind. Lord, I pray that you anoint me to deliver your word tonight. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me and get rid of all the distractions, get rid of everything out of our concentration upon your word and upon you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we glorify you. I pray for the anointing, I pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the text tonight has this call from God, and then there's the response, and it's those three words you've heard: "Here I am." Those three words, here I am, they generally signify a surrendering of one's will and of one's life. So they mean, I'm willing, I'm available, use me, send me. So they're supposed to be the words of ultimate surrender, such as, here is me. What do you need done? What do you need from me? Or what can I give to please you? I have all things available at your disposal, all wrapped up into here I am. So I would ask you, what do we mean when we say that? Because God wants our all. Although Isaiah is known for these words of surrender and giving his all, he was not the first to use them, actually. You can look throughout the Bible, and the first one that spoke those was Father Abraham. Then Esau said those words. And then they were stolen by Jacob, and then inherited by Joseph. But then Moses did not lead until he responded to God with those words. Samuel uttered them thrice, and it was possibly Ahitub's last words. Those words were also spoken by an unnamed Amalekite who killed Saul. And then David was speaking to Hushai, and then the prophet Isaiah, and then finally Ananias, who then asked God, or who then asked God asked him to go pray for Saul, the persecutor. Here I am. So the question is, do we surrender to God under certain conditions? Because we often equate the phrase, here I am, send me, as this complete surrender of our will to God, as it should be. But too often I pray, God, use me in this. Or, God, I want to do this for you. Or, if it's your will, God, I'll go, and you fill in the blank. So what I mean to say is that too often our mouths and our emotions sing, I surrender all, and we are sincere at that moment. Yet our hearts and then our personal life the next week says, I surrender part. So a white lie is where we tell the truth, but we mix a little bit of a lie in there. And it's supposed to be good on the surface. That's the idea of it. It's not supposed to mean I'm going to lie. It means I'm going to tell something that's pleasing, but I don't want to tell all the truth. It is supposed to please people. So, for example, I could say, I'm going to give you these car keys. You can do whatever you want with the car. You can go wherever you want with the car for the next hour. You can do whatever you want. Just don't leave the parking lot. But I'll give you the car. Here's the keys to the car. It's yours. I'm surrendering these keys to you. To do what? Not whatever you want, though. You can't leave Sterling. Don't use any of the gas. But here, I'm giving this to you. And too often we say that to God. So holding nothing back, God still wants our all. We're supposed to surrender our will and our life. You see, it's not so much of a pick me, Lord. You're not at a sporting event. You're not going to play on a game. You're not on a team. God's not trying to choose somebody to fill this position. And he's looking at everybody. It's not a pick me, Lord, kind of moment, but it's an attitude. It's a lifestyle that says, God, today, whatever you need me to do, I want to do whatever you have in store. I want to do whatever you have it is. I want to be open to be used for whatever. I am willing and I am available. So too often Isaiah's desire, that here I am, is actually seen more of a response to a ministry or the response of a need or a position or something that has to be done. But it should be the daily prayer of submission to the will of God in our life. In fact, I believe it was JFK that says, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. So it should be a daily offering. What can I do for you, Lord? Here I am. Too much emphasis sometimes is placed on the I, as in, here I am, use me, I want to do it, rather than here. Here I am, Lord, accept me, please. So you see, our submission and our obedience to the will of God is not just a one-time gift. As much as camp can be and as much as an altar call can be, yes, we should still have those moments in an altar call where God can call us to do something. But that should not be the highlight of our year. So when you go to youth camp, yes, you should surrender your life to God. But that shouldn't just be a once-a-year thing. That should be a daily mindset. As use me, Lord. Call me, Lord. Show me what you want me to do. Guide me throughout my day. So it's not a one-time gift, but it's a daily sacrifice and a daily offering. It is to be our life of worship. It shouldn't be a job application. God wants our all. Mark 12:29-30 said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So the Lord our God is one, and you shall love him with all. It's not a all of my heart, but two-thirds of my mind and just a small portion of my strength and some of my time and not really much of my weekends. And it's all. You see, if we are halfway given to God and surrendered to God, then we are halfway controlled by ourselves or at least something else. And if up to half of our lives are directed by God, then our lives are still halfway kept by us. So holding nothing back, God wants our all. He doesn't want all of some. Mark chapter 7, verse 6, the ESV says, and he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I can take you back to that original text, Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people, they draw near me with their mouth. So what they say pleases me. What they say sounds good. With their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me. You see, the Pharisees were hypocrites. And that's the context of this verse. They would say one thing, but then they would go and do another. They served God with all their speech, but not with all their deeds, and certainly not with all their heart. They would purposely look with those white lie of their life. They would look like they were serving God. People could look at them and say, yeah, they seem like everything is good. I heard him praying in the temple very loud. They're whitewashed sepulchers. Because on the inside, they were empty, they were dusty, and they were dead. Again, God wants our all. Romans 12:1 even says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the last time I checked, a sacrifice was something that was completely given to God. I can't give half my car to God. You can't give half of an ox to God, burn the whole thing up and, I don't know. You can't do that. A sacrifice, by definition, is something that you give away, that you don't use of yourself. A sacrifice costs you. A sacrifice is valuable to you. Your body's as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It is your spiritual worship. It is not just a service that we do just because we're bored on Sunday nights and on Thursday nights. It's your spiritual worship. Again, like I just said, worship kind of actually equates in the Bible. Worship is sacrifice. And sacrifice equates to worship. Not in every case, but it generally does. Sacrifice to God was seen as worship. And worship expends energy. And it is a sacrifice. Again, God wants our all. A life of worship is a life of sacrifice. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38 says, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. God consumed everything. And it was a beautiful moment. How much more should all of our life be consumed with God? Luke 3:16 says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than me cometh, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So our God is a consuming fire, and that fire should consume all of our life. Again, God wants our all. You see, God doesn't just want your future, but he also wants your past. And not only does he want your strengths and your good points, but he also wants your weaknesses and your failures. And he doesn't want any public ministry that you have, but he also wants your private life. See, God still is concerned about your heart. He's still concerned about what you do. He's still concerned about what you say. God still wants our all. And then we should also surrender to his will. Surrender to his will. Acts 21:13 says, Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? Listen to this. For I am ready not just to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I am not ready just to be bound, but I am ready to die for the Lord. He had his will completely surrendered to whatever God wanted to do. If God wanted to set him free, he was good with that. If God wanted to kill him that day, he was good with that. If God wanted to send him to another place when he had plans for a certain city or a certain area, he was good with that too. He surrendered his all. The next verse says, And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. Just saying, Let the will of the Lord be done. Let the will of the Lord be done. John 3:30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. So unconditional surrender is when we give God our talents, our time, our money, our job, our friends, our priorities. You see, it affects more than just our spiritual lives, but it affects our car, our jobs, our education. Unconditional surrender is when we surrender all of our will to the will and the plan of God. Meaning without conditions. Or without that fine print that always gets you on something that you didn't know. There was a guy at the airport today. He went in there. He was going to buy the car. He had the reservations. And the guy behind the counter is saying, Well, on the fine print it says this and this. You need to have this other piece of paper. And he had no idea what to do with the spot. I think he ended up getting his car, but it completely caught him by surprise. He thought all he had to do was show up, pay, and take the keys. But there was fine print. Oh, I don't get all of it like that. I have to do something else. See, the condition is kind of like being up here where you can have anything shipped free. You know what I mean? Free shipping, except I thought it was without a condition. So you see, it was a couple months ago, I overheard a Christian at work say a very common phrase. I've heard it several times before, but when she said it, it hit me pretty hard at the time. She was talking to another individual, and she was talking about being a Christian or loving Christ or something along those lines, because judging by the context of it. And what she said was, I gave my life to Christ. And I've heard that word, those words several times before. But that's what she said. I gave my life to Christ. And it never clicked before. Salvation in our understanding is almost like we're here and Holy Ghost fills us and we're right here. But we don't give our life to Christ so much. It was a different perspective on that. But she said, I gave my life to Christ. And it caught me by surprise. But when we surrender all, we surrender our lives to serving God. It's not to serve our preference and our taste. In fact, we're supposed to surrender our preferences to the will of God. Again, we surrender, and I had that list earlier. We surrender all the above to God. Wherever He directs us, whatever He tells us to do, whatever He tells us to say. And it's to fulfill His will. It's not to fulfill our own. Matthew 26:39 says, and He went a little further, and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You see, Christ even said the words, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, not ours. God wants our all. He wants all aspects of our lives to be according to His will, His plan, His divine purpose. Here I am should be our cry of unconditional surrender, that offering to God. Just a side note is that when the children of Israel were conquering the land of Canaan, the promised land, this was the land God was giving to them. The first city they came to was Jericho. We've heard the story of Jericho several times, I'm sure. They walk around it, they march around it, and they blow the horns, and the city falls down. And God says, don't touch anything in that city. I want you to burn that city to the ground. It is not going to be for you. All that city is going to be mine. You won't take one garment or one shekel of silver. And Achan goes in there. I'm going to have my will in this. I don't want to give God all, just a little bit. I'm going to take some a little bit. And Achan goes in there and he takes, what was it, two garments? And he God wants our all. Going back to our text, God says, Abraham, you've trusted me with your family and with your future. You left your home. I've even given you a son now. You've given me parts of your life, Abraham. But what about your son? Are you willing to give me your all? And he says, yes, Lord. Here I am. God says, Jonah, I want you to be a preacher. Jonah says, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll do it. There's that song, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll climb the highest mountain. He says, here I am. God says, I want you to go to the other side of town. I want you to go to the homeless people. I want you to go and start a Bible study over there in the bad side of the area. And then he says, no. I told you I'm going to give you my all. I said I would do it. But no, I'm not going to give you my all. I can't do it. I don't want to give you my all. And the Lord says, but I want your all. That's exactly it. I want all of you. You have the rich young ruler who runs to Jesus. He falls at his feet, on his knees before him, excuse me. He says, what must I do? I want to go beyond. I want to go to the next level. I want to become a disciple of you. I want you to use me. I want to be taught by you. I want to know your words. Christ says, you must obey the law. He says, yes, I've done all that. Here I am. He says, then sell all you have and come. Follow me. The Bible says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was not willing to give his all. I'm kind of coming to the close here. But the first step to living our life for God is to follow his plan of salvation. And so if you have yet to repent of your sins, We're to be baptized in his holy name. If you have yet to be filled with the Spirit, you can do so tonight. The second step is daily offer ourselves as an offering. That's when we pray, Lord, here I am. Use me for your kingdom. Use me for your plan and your will. I believe it was Paul who said, I die daily, where he submitted his will to the will of God every day. Where he made sure Christ was getting his all. Because the next day he might not would have done it. Okay, God, I give you my all once again. It's my daily sacrifice. This is my reasonable act of worship. So rather than telling God what and where and how we want to be used, we should give him our abilities, our talents, our time. We need to give him our all. God wants our all. Our prayer should be, show me what needs to be done, Lord. Help me to obey your word. I want to be led by your Spirit. Lord, mold me and shape me and bend my will and break my plans for today. Reprioritize my life. Set everything straight and take the thing at the top that's not of you and get rid of it. My ambitions and my goals, my apostolic dreams, get rid of them and shatter them so you can have your will in my life. And if I'd ask you a question tonight, and if you guys would let me ask you, if you could fill in the blank here, I would do whatever God asks me to do, but I'm not going to do that. I would do whatever it is, except fill in that blank. And so what I'd ask you is that, what is that one thing that you won't do or that you won't let go of? Is there something God's asking you to do or say? Or is he calling you somewhere to do something? Is he calling you to give more, to sacrifice more? Because he wants your all. So tonight, let the words, here I am, be the prayer of unconditional surrender for your life. If you could stand with me, I'm pretty much done. So tonight, I want you to give him your all, holding nothing back. God wants our all. You see, in Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31 says, what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first son and said, go work in the vineyard today. And he said, I will not. But then afterward, he changed his mind and he went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go. But he did not go. So which the two did the will of his father? And they said it was the first one who gave his all. You see, in scriptural example, we have Jonah, who gave lip service to God. Yet throughout the entire book, he wrestles. His life is this wrestling match with God where God wants him to do something. And he says no. And they're going back and forth throughout the rest of the book. But you compare that to Daniel, who continues living for God throughout three separate kings. The entire book of Daniel, he is still faithful. He is still surrendering his all. I don't know if you guys have altar calls. It's been 3.5 years since I've been here, so I don't know if you guys have altar calls here tonight. I'll go ahead and open up the altar then. But again, give God your all. Go ahead and give him your all. If all is what you're asking me, God, I want to give you all. I don't want to have that fine print where I get the weekends, where I get what I want out of the deal. We're not bartering with God. It's a sacrifice. It's our spiritual act of worship. God, I give you my all.